So I've now been here as your senior minister for almost 11 months. Time flies. But there's still a lot that we're learning about each other. For example, there are a couple things about me that you might already know, but you might not, and they're important for this morning's sermon. They are that I am a big fan of certainty, and I'm really afraid of heights. These two things are important to start with, because we are living in, to put it mildly, uncertain times. This uncertainty has become abundantly clear, particularly on our national political scene. The current administration has kept us guessing with many unclear actions, throwing the country into a series of nationwide protests, because people are worried. They're worried about the future of our communities and our democracy. What will happen with North Korea and the ongoing talks? What about the Russia investigation? Is that ever going to end? Will it result in anything? What's going on at our nation's southern border? How can we stop this practice of separating children from their families as a so-called deterrent? What about the anxiety felt by people in our communities who are or who have family and friends who are foreign-born residents? Now, I try really hard not to be hysterical, not to overreact, but I think we can all agree, no matter who we voted for or our political affiliation, that there's just a lot of uncertainty right now, a lot of fear about what's happening, what's coming down the road. In addition to the uncertain political times, we also live in a time in which the foundations of religious identity have been shaken. More and more people are identifying religiously as nuns. That's N-O-N-E-S. People who check the box none when asked to identify their religion. Faith traditions, especially mainline Christian Protestants, which for the majority of America's history has held the lion's share of the religious landscape, they are experiencing steep declines in their membership rosters and their Sunday morning attendance. Now, the declines are not quite as dramatic for Unitarian Universalists, but we are not growing as a faith tradition. And when examined through the lens of population growth, we are indeed shrinking. This is not a sermon about growth. It's not a sermon about social justice or politics. This is a sermon about our identity, about getting back to the basics, our strengths, and taking the risks required to be true to ourselves and to the people who need us in the coming days and years. Now, I started this sermon with two truths. One is that I hate uncertainty, so that I hate that our political and religious future is so uncertain, but there we are. The second thing I told you is that I'm really afraid of heights. Really. Like, I don't even like glass elevators. I don't even like getting close to the window of a high-rise building. It just sort of throws off my center. And so when my sister-in-law suggested a couple Christmases ago that we, all the siblings, go try flying trapeze as a holiday activity, my first thought was, I'd rather have a root canal, thanks. But I swallowed that instinct and decided, for my husband's sake and because peer pressure, that I would go along. And so the day finally came. We all drove over to the flying trapeze school, and we went into this giant gymnasium, and we got our first lesson on this little practice trapeze. And then they put us in a harness, and they connected us with this to a safety line with this tiny little carabiner clip. And they said, "Okay, who's up first?" It wasn't me. But when it came my turn, I had to climb in my slippery socks up a really tall ladder to this little platform that felt remarkably flimsy and shaky. And I was told to lean way out off the platform and grab the bar, which I'm telling you weighed like 50 pounds, and then grab with both hands. Do you have the slide to show? And then this was the freaking out part. Just jump off the platform. They said, ready? And you bend your knees. And then they say, hop. And you're supposed to jump off this 25-story platform. Okay, it wasn't 25 stories, but it was maybe 25 feet. But still, it was really, really high. And the first time they said, hop, nothing happened. I just couldn't make my body jump off that platform. I couldn't do it. But the second time, I did. And so I was supposed to swing my feet up and through my arms and then hook my knees over the bar. Now, I'm telling you, I haven't done a sit-up since Nevin was born, so it's been a while. But I did it, so I have to then hook my knees over the bar and then let go so I'm hanging upside down. Yeah. And then bring my hands back up and unhook my knees so that I can just drop down into the net in a simple backflip. That's the basic move. That's day one of trapeze school. It was not pretty. I got the worst leg cramp I've ever gotten. And I did not want to go back up on that ladder when it was my turn again. But I did. I did it. I did it over and over and over. It was a 2-hour class. And then I was so good at that knee hang move that I could be caught by the catcher. Yeah, it was like a real life trapeze artist. And I haven't been back. I mean, I'm considering trying it again at some point. But you know, I learned so much about myself. I learned a lot about my abilities, my capacity to overcome fear, that I told everyone I knew about this experience. A few well-respected UU minister colleagues asked me, have you read the book Learning to Fly by Sam Keen? I hadn't. So someone lent it to me, and then I just devoured this book. Keen is a writer, a psychologist, and a graduate of Harvard Divinity School. And he became addicted to flying trapeze at the age of 61 years old. And his book is about the theological, psychological, and philosophical applications of trapeze to life. So what does this have to do with being a Unitarian Universalist? Or more accurately, what might these applications teach us about how to face the uncertainty and the off-centeredness of the coming years, both religiously and politically? So here are my top three lessons that we can learn from flying trapeze. Number one, the point is to create beauty. Number two, letting go allows us to learn new things. And number three, we learn to fly not by becoming fearless, but by the daily practice of courage. So our first lesson is that the point is to create beauty. Now let me tell you, when I first tried this trapeze thing, it was not beautiful. Especially that first try was not pretty at all. But the goal, the point of trapeze is to create graceful, beautiful movements. Sam Keen in his trapeze philosophy book says, quote, beauty is not optional. Once, one of the best flyers was just about to throw a double somersault, he says. And the catcher yelled over to him, let's do it right and make some beauty. Now, I didn't always do it right, but each time it was more about creating beauty than trying to master a series of steps. Sam Keen also tells the story of how he was trying to master a complicated move in his trapeze practice one day, and his instructor kept telling him this long series of complicated instructions. And Sam said, I would dutifully climb to the pedestal, I would double my effort, and I tried several times to follow his instructions. But the more I tried to change everything at once, the more chaotic my movements became. My mid-air dance resembled nothing so much as a frog on amphetamines. He then goes on to tell that a famous flyer happened to be there that day observing his practice and gave him some simpler advice. That flyer said, just forget what your teacher's telling you. Just try to kick the catcher when you turn, and that will put you in the right position. Sam says he tried it, and it worked. As in most arts, less can be more. We often forget that the point of religious community, the point of this fellowship, is to create beauty. We strive so often. We try new things and we add new strategies and committees and processes and bells and whistles to worship and bylaws and governing documents. And then we forget that that's not the point. These are tools. They're means to a greater end. But the point is to transform lives and to transform the world. To embody love in a struggling and sometimes hostile world, to create places of safety for those who are afraid, and places where those of us who find ourselves with privilege are challenged and made uncomfortable and asked to stretch. People have been coming to our doors, particularly since the November 8th election. They've been flocking here, not because they are desperate for complex governance structures, but because they need hope. People bring their children to our religious education program, not because they necessarily want one curriculum over the other, but because they want a place for their children to feel free to explore and to grow and to run around in the grass. The people who respond to surveys by saying that they're a nun, an N-O-N-E, those people are turned off by all the shenanigans that faith communities get themselves involved in. But that does not mean that those people don't yearn for a place and a group of people to support them in the challenges of life and embrace them in the search for truth and meaning. I think we think, oh, well, they're not interested in religious community. They're not interested in this place. They are. They're just not interested in some of the trappings. The point of our communities is to create beauty and hope, love and transformation. That's all. So let's just keep our eyes on that prize. Let's do it right and create beauty. And then I believe that we will be okay in an uncertain future. The second lesson is about letting go. When the instructor yelled, "Hop," and I was supposed to jump off that platform, and then later when I was supposed to let go of the bar and just let my body somersault onto the net to trust that it was going to do that, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to let go. Letting go was scary. Hanging onto that bar was scary too, but at least it was a known scary. So as we move into an uncertain future, we might need to be okay with letting go of things that aren't serving us anymore. Now, I mentioned earlier that I like certainty. I'm an organized person. Those of you who've worked with me on a committee, you know that I like lists and spreadsheets. I like to plan the steps in any project. I am a big fan of clearly articulated budgets. These things help me feel like there is some semblance of control over the situation, whatever the situation might be. And I know I'm not alone in this. We Unitarian Universalists tend to be a step-by-step, meticulous, logical kind of people. Now, it's true that theologically we're okay with uncertainty. We don't cling to ancient texts. We allow new scientific findings to inform our understanding of the world. We're open to learning and exploring, but in many ways, we cling. We cling to what we know. And heaven help you if you try to change it. Now, the 19th century Unitarian minister Theodore Parker spoke of this particular concern in his famous sermon in the 1800s. Things haven't changed a whole lot. He spoke of this in his sermon, which was called A Discourse on the Transient and Permanent in Christianity. Now, remember, in the 1800s, Unitarians were Christian, and so he's speaking of his own faith community. He said, quote, "Yet there are some who are affrighted by the faintest rustle which a heretic makes among the dry leaves of theology. They tremble lest Christianity itself should perish without hope. The least doubt respecting the popular theology or the existing machinery of the church is by some good men supposed to be capable of shaking Christianity itself." I love that quote. The faintest rustle in the dry leaves of theology, and they tremble lest Christianity itself should perish without hope. He was teasing them. He was saying, there are some people who think if you change just the tiniest thing, the whole thing is going to collapse. And he's saying, that's not going to happen. We're stronger than that. We can change little things, and the whole thing's not going to fall apart. He spoke about the permanence of the Christian message and the transience of the forms and practices that come and go. And he reminded us not to confuse the two. And we often confuse the two. We confuse the Sunday morning order of service, or the kinds of hymns we sing, or what the minister wears, or whether or not we use a screen to project lyrics, or the board governance structure. We confuse all of that with the truth and meaning of our faith, with the rich historical trajectory of freedom and reason, love and justice making. We forget that the point, our first lesson, is to create beauty. We need to have enough trust in our faith, in Unitarian Universalism, to know that it will not perish at the slightest rustle. When I let go of that bar in trapeze class, I was letting go of something that I knew. But I found out the truth, my friends. I found out that letting go of the bar meant that I trusted myself more than the bar. May we too have the courage to let go of things in order to learn new things and to learn to trust ourselves more deeply. And lastly, our third lesson. We learn to fly not by becoming fearless, but by the daily practice of courage. As we heard in our reading by Charles Magistro earlier, it's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to overcome the natural fear of the unknown and venture forth with nothing to sustain us save our zest for living and our hunger for new experience and knowledge. This uncertainty is not easy. I'm always amazed and kind of frankly annoyed that people, Garrison Keillor, think that Unitarian Universalists don't believe in anything. That we can believe whatever we want. That somehow we are an easy faith. This is not easy. The reason I have the Wonder Box for the children is because not knowing is hard. And I want them to learn how to do it, how to not know. It's not easy. In fact, the work of not knowing and seeking and finding and making meaning can be fear-producing. And that is why we gather in our Unitarian Universalist communities to do the fear-producing work of exploring the unknown together. Now, I'm afraid of the future, folks. I said it. I am. I come from a place of privilege, and I'm still afraid of what might be coming down the road. And I would venture to say that you might be too. That's okay. It's okay to be afraid. By facing the future in trapeze, as in life, as in at the fellowship, the goal is not fearlessness. It's about facing our fear every day, getting better and better at it. As Sam Keen says in his book, it's about becoming a connoisseur of fear. He also says something really important about facing fear. He says, quote, courage is a byproduct of communion rather than an individual virtue. It is the creation of a compassionate community rather than a psychological quality that some people have and others lack. If you take nothing else from this sermon, take this home. Courage is a byproduct of communion rather than an individual virtue. It is the creation of a compassionate community. It's something that we do together. I learned this in my trapeze class with my siblings-in-law. Let me tell you, I got pretty good at jumping off that platform, but it never got easier. See that smile? It's fake. The photographer's like, turn around and smile. But having my husband and my brothers and sister-in-law down below the net cheering for me, they were saying, go, Christina, you can do it. And then they would give me high fives when I came down off the net. That is what gave me the courage to keep going. Had I had to do it myself, it would not have happened. We can do this work, especially the hard work of justice making, of showing up against the evils of the world, of welcoming strangers, because we do it together. That was the net that we had with the children during the Wonder Box. Because when we fall or when we mess up, and friends, we will fall, we will mess up. It's okay, because we are still bound together in our covenanted communities, in our interdependent web. As we face the uncertain political and religious future, it's reasonable to feel afraid. It's reasonable to want to cling to what we know. It's reasonable to want to try a bunch of complicated things to fix the problems that we observe or that we think we observe. When I climbed on that platform, I didn't want to face what came next, but the instructor was there. He was holding my tiny little carabiner clip, and he would remind me to breathe. It's important to breathe. And then he would say something to me each time, and it would make me laugh. He would say, "Don't think so hard. Don't think so hard." I wonder what that means for Unitarian Universalists. We are such a thinking people. But that's what's at the heart of these three lessons today. Don't think so hard. Create beauty. Let go. Face fear in community. When I hear people talk about how we're going to move forward in making the world safer or more just or more loving, or how we're going to weather the changes in the American religious landscape, they have so many suggestions for us. Ways to engage social media, or how to attract millennials, or complex strategies for legislative change, or unique models for fundraising. And some of those ideas might be helpful. Trust me, I have a spreadsheet all about them in my office. But learning to fly in trapeze, as in life, as in religious community, is about trusting ourselves and our history, our communities, clinging to the deep identity and not to the external trappings that actually hold us back. Remembering that our purpose is to gather in communities of hope and love and transformation so that we can do the real work of changing the world together. May we go forth confident in these truths, and in doing so, may we learn to fly. Amen. Blessed be.